Hello?
Hello!
Hello, James.
Hello, Nicholas.
You made it.
I did, eventually.
Very excited.
I'm excited. I'm stoked. I'm hyped, plus I'm amped.
That's a lot of things to be, James.
It is.
For a Tuesday afternoon. Do you have a beverage?
I do. I have some vodka mixed with some Whole Foods lemonade. Mango lemonade. This is what it is.
Did your husband bring you that beverage? That sounds straight out of a Sex and the City viewing party.
I don't know anything about Sex and the City. I've never watched Sex and the City. I'm ignorant of the thing called Sex and the City. You seem to be very familiar with it, though.
Yeah, I watched like 4 seasons of it. It's tits like nobody's business in that show.
Oh, well, are they all Kim Cattrall?
No, man. Everybody except
Sarah
Jessica Parker, yeah. And yeah.
I heard Black Sails is the TV show to watch these days.
Black Sails?
Yeah, it's on Stars. It's about pirates and people doing pirate things.
How did that go from Sex and the City to there?
Because you were talking about tits.
There's tits in it?
Yes, that's why I'm saying it's the thing to watch for tits.
Well, dude, I would think that a pirate show would be piratey and full of pirates who don't have tits as a rule.
Right, but like
for the most part,
their main thing to go out and do is like, we got to find some tits. Let's go. Let's sail the seas until we find some tits, and then they find tits. I mean, it's not like it's a reality show where they like, you know, film them for like, you know, the 17 days while they're crossing the, you know, Mediterranean or whatever they're crossing. I don't know. That's just what I heard. I heard there's tits on Black Sails, man. Shit. I don't expect the fucking Spanish Inquisition.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Our chief weapon is surprise. Just surprise and fear. Surprise and fear are two weapons. Fear and surprise. And ruthless efficiency. Are three weapons. Fear and surprise and ruthless efficiency. You're wondering how far I'm going to go, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm giving you opportunity. Just goo with it.
Fear, surprise, and ruthless efficiency. An almost fanatical devotion to the verb. Amongst our weapons are fear and surprise. Oh, fuck. I'll come in again.
Fear and surprise. And poop. Poop.
Poop. Poop. Poop. Poop. Poop.
Poop. Poop. Poop.
Sorry, had a Harry Potter friend saying.
Hey, James.
Hey.
James.
Oh, shit.
Welcome to Dork.
Hey, we're live. Welcome to Dork. I'm James Brown.
And I'm Mick Moore.
Welcome to Dork, where dork things happen to dork people. What are you drinking?
Welcome aboard. Exciting and brand new.
The love dork. Soon we'll be making a lot of love. Wait, that's not how it goes, is it?
Not at all. Mm. Hey, so you sent me a thing.
I sent you a thing on the Twitter.
Yeah.
A thing I am very excited about because I am the kind of person that gets very excited about this kind of thing.
And what is this thing, James?
This thing is called BattleBots, Nick. BattleBots.
Like
robots.
The show from the 90s?
Like the show from the late 90s. It was on Comedy Central. Late 90s.
Who's picked it up now?
ABC. Like ABC.
Wait, it's on
ABC, like the network that is owned by Disney, like ABC. ABC.
Huh. Okay, so yeah. That surprised me.
That surprised me as well.
So it's going to be like a primetime thing?
I have no idea. I just know it's the date.
What is the date?
It's June 21st.
Is Grant Imahara going to be making his... I don't think he ever left.
You literally know as much as I do at this point now.
Oh, okay.
I didn't find it. I was like, yeah, that's a Sunday. So, you know, I don't know if it's going to be a...
They're testing the waters.
Maybe.
Well, we'll see.
Maybe, baby. But yes, if for those of you who do not know, which, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know. But in case you don't, BattleBots was exactly what it sounds like. That would take a two different robots of approximately equal size, and their masters would remote control them, and they would fight each other. And that's pretty much it. They did have on the Comedy Central show. They did have an arena that had lots of hazards.
Yes.
Sonic would pound your robot if it got too close, and if you're in the lighter weight class, then that was more of a hazard than if you were like in the super heavyweight, because if you get hit by that hammer and you're super heavyweight, you're like, oh man, that sucks. But if you get hit by the hammer and you're a lightweight, then your match is pretty much over.
Yeah, and there were saw blades and fire and flippers. The flippers are always that's how everybody lost was the fucking flippers.
Yeah. But some of those were so well designed that if they got flipped over, they could either just keep fighting without a problem, or they could right themselves. There was one called T-Minus that was the same design, general design, as the super heavyweight El Toro or Toro. What was it? Just Toro? Anyway, but T-Minus was a flip bot. That's all it was. It had two wheels and a giant mechanism to flip things. And so it would get underneath other things.
It looked like a Segway, but flat down.
It looked like a Segway, but what?
But flip down?
Yeah, kind of.
So it could go either way?
It could go either way. But it would only work as a flipper if it was one way. So if it was upside down, it could still move around. But then it would activate its flipping mechanism, and that would flip itself over one and a half times. And I'm back, baby. It was well designed. That was one of my favorite ones. My two favorite moments in BattleBots involved a heavyweight machine called Nightmare that was basically just this spinning disc, the spinning vertical disc, that could just, once it hit something, it would knock it forward and back, or not forward and back, but up and back. It basically constantly giving uppercuts. It had this big disc that would just keep hitting things.
Gotcha. Had little teeth on it.
Yeah, had little teeth, had a little weighted teeth, like three on the big disc. The disc was 2 or 3 feet in diameter. I mean, probably 3 feet in diameter, I would think. Sure. That sounds about right. And it would constantly spin. So if it hit you head on, it would be getting three or four uppercuts. Right now it was bam, bam, bam. And it went against this machine called Slambot, which was designed as a wedge machine, but it could not get under Nightmare. So 10 seconds into the match, they go head to head and Nightmare just fucking knocks the hell out of Slambot, and it goes flying, and it's in pieces, and it's rawr. It was one of the most hellacious collisions I've seen in BattleBots, and I was holy fucking shit, this is wonderful. This is magnificent. This is what carnage is supposed to be wrought on a program called BattleBots. This is the essence of what it's all about. And there was another machine called Son of Waiachi, which I'm assuming Waiachi was another machine that I never got to see play, But Son of Waiachi was kind of the same concept as Nightmare, except instead of a vertical spinning disc, it was a horizontal spinning disc. So it was very low to the ground and had basically three sledgehammers that were, attached to it. And they would spin around just like a helicopter blade. And it would, it was spinning. And a few rounds after Nightmare destroyed Slambot, Nightmare went up against Son of Waiachi. And so you're holy shit, this is going to be the irresistible force versus the immovable object. It's spinning vertical versus spinning horizontal. And so you're wondering, what's it going to be? Which one's going to win out? And the question was answered about 10 seconds into the match, just like the Nightmare Slambot match. Nightmare and Son of Waiachi go against each other, and Nightmare is fucking destroyed. Son of Waiachi, superior, the horizontal is obviously the superior technique in this case, and it fucking knocked Nightmare sideways. There's, one of its wheels goes out, and you see hydraulic fluid spinning around. It's likened to in a horror movie when you see someone's head get cut off and it goes spinning off into the air, spewing blood in all directions. It was fantastic, Nick. It was fantastic, and I want the same feeling of watching those moments when I watch the one coming up on June 21st. I'm very excited. I will probably be disappointed, but right now I'm very excited.
Yeah, that's the way a lot of them went. You'd be like, oh, it's going on. And one of them would get stuck or get flipped over, and that's how it won. Or Like, I remember seeing one that looked like a giant snake. It was like 8 feet long. And one, the head of it was three-prong claw.
Yeah.
And it looked like, I mean, you saw it and you're like, oh, man, that's going to be awesome. And it didn't, it had like three operators. And they couldn't do anything. It looked neat. And so the guy going up against it just had one of those like little hammer things and just went up to it and just went bam, 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 and just slowly broke it in front of the guy who created it, who looked kind of like, what's his name? The Mind Freak magician. Who's that guy? Chris Angel.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, like him if he was like 50. Guy looked like, and he just, it just got tore apart piece by piece. Ended up calling it. They're like, yeah, this thing's stupid. Cut it.
Yeah.
One of the most. Remember, for the end, there were guys that like perfected them, where it just was really flat to the ground.
Yeah,
and just had a little flip on it, and so it was completely smooth, and you couldn't get under it.
Right,
and like there was such perfect design, nobody could get under it, and you couldn't crush it. So in the end, you have like two of these guys going at each other, trying to push each other into hazards, because they figured out this. It's like MMA. Just do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Like, if you actually had a Kung Fu guy go up against a boxer, oh, let's do that. But it's not. It's a bunch of guys doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So, who gives a shit?
Right.
I mean, it's fun to watch douchebags beat the fuck out of each other. Don't get me wrong. But it's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is, let's take a really good Taekwondo guy and put up against a really good...
Kung Fu, Wushu, Karate.
A dude with a sword.
Everywhere. Samurai.
Yeah, and have them go against each other.
Yaido.
Yaido.
Oh. Old MacDonald had a sword. Yaido.
Carol is a big fan of all the Sailor Moons.
Really? You don't say.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she started... You know, Hulu's kind enough to suggest things for her. They're like, hey, maybe you'd like this. And one of the ones I suggested for it was it's a direct ripoff of Sailor Moon. It's called
Nautical Satellite?
Earthray, or Night Earthray, or something like that.
Okay.
But I'm watching it, I'm like, so wait, this is Sailor Moon? She's like, no. I'm like, so what, is it like, so these are students, right? Yeah, but they don't transform, they're just always like this. So it's Sailor Moon? No, it's not. It's slightly different. And so she comes back to me the next day and she goes, yeah, I looked it up as totally just a complete ripoff. I'm like, yeah, it's girls in sailor suits fighting women in lingerie, which is pretty much all Sailor Moon is.
Yeah.
That's her latest thing that's always on in my house.
Did she keep watching it? She kept watching it. She's like, this is a total ripoff. I'm only going to watch it for the first 141 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of them because it was made like in the freaking 80s. And they kept making it because, you know, Japan.
It's Japan. That's what they do. There's lots of stuff. You ever watch Ronin Warriors?
Ronin Warriors? What's that?
It's another one of those anime things where there's like five guys and, you know, the one that was the born leader and the one that's like the hothead and then like... What's weird is like there's one whose face looks like he's supposed to be the fat one, but they all have to have like, for some reason, they all have the same slim outfits. And so like their body types are exactly the same, but like he still has like the fat guy face. But you know, it's like they like each have their own like mystical armor that they can like use in ultimate power and then like transform at some point and have a super weapon at the end. And then there's like three or four bad guys that have like similar things. And yeah, it's, you know the formula, but it's another thing that's like, you know, kind of cool. Because, like, you know, it's like, oh, this guy, instead of having this superpower, he's got the Iron Rock Crusher. And like,
Iron Rock Crusher.
Exactly.
Iron Rock Crusher. Arrow Shock Wave. Super Wave Smasher.
You know, that kind of thing. But anyway, I enjoy it. It's one of those things where the most interesting character usually starts out as evil, but then like he joins the good guys at some point. And
yes,
there's a character like that, and I won't tell if you ever want to watch it. I won't tell you the name, but he's for me. He's like the most interesting guy. Yeah, it's Anubis. Anyway, I lied, but yeah, I'm looking forward to BattleBots.
Yeah. They really should make rules.
Like, I'm just wondering, like, how many of them are going to, like, come back, or how many of them are going to be, like, totally new, or what?
It's just like that one where they had, like, they teamed up a nerd with a fighter, and they had him build a robot to fight another team like that.
Why?
Which would have been fucking awesome, but it was shit. Like, basically, it was, well, no, the fighter actually had hand controls. They would get in and, like, actually fight. This was, like, a couple of years ago. Oh. They'd get in and, like, actually have a fighting style.
Oh, they, like, the nerd put them inside, they put them inside the robots.
No. It's like a remote piloted thing.
Oh,
but it's like, okay, like Rock and Sock
robots. Yeah.
Basically, these were the robots, and they would be in the ring together, and then you would have the fighter in the
control,
you know, punch arms.
Yeah, this sounds kind of weird.
And then the dork would help them move it around and, you know, design the thing.
Did you see the movie Real Steel?
No, but I know the concept, and it's very much. I think it came out right after Real Steel. They're like, yeah, let's do that in real life.
In the movie, which didn't happen in the Twilight Zone episode. Wait a second. Was it? There was an original short story. It was just the Twilight Zone episode, right?
Which one?
What Real Steel was based on. What the movie was based on. It was based on a story by same guy that did I Am Legend, Matheson.
Yes.
Yeah, so he wrote what became an episode of Twilight Zone, where, you know, it was like modern. It was a modern time when boxers had been, you know, boxing had been out, like real human boxing had been outlawed, and so they were using robots instead. But then, like, this one guy or this one pair of guys, like, they had a robot that wasn't working, so they put the guy that used to be a fighter inside the robot, and so he, like, went out and, like, was fighting the robot in the ring, and then. When Real Steel came out, it was based on that same story, although obviously there were a lot of changes. There was
like Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, like Hugh Jackman. But like in the movie, like the robot was learning things from Hugh Jackman, because Hugh Jackman, like, knew how to fight. I don't remember, I guess he used to be a boxer or whatever. But at one point they, like, changed it to where, like, the robot was actually doing exactly what Hugh Jackman was doing at the same time. Like, he was controlling the robot just by going punch, punch, you know. Dodge. Turn, parry, thrust. Sorry, I had a Daffy Duck moment. Anyway, so yeah, that's what it sounded like. It sounded like it was exactly like that TV show was exactly like the Hugh Jackman, like, controlling the robot, you know, because he's like over, like, the robot's in the ring and Hugh Jackman's on the side, like, punching and ducking and weaving and bobbing and dancing like a butterfly.
Stink like a bean.
Yes, stink like a bean. It's stinking like a bean. Yeah. Yeah, that's what happened. For a second there, I wasn't sure if the screen if the screen froze or if you were just, like, looking like yourself. So you forgot your hat.
No, I didn't. I took it off.
Okay.
It's getting warm. So I removed it.
But you still need, like, a little cushion for the headphone.
I got to get new headphones. Like, I need to update everything. This is episode 72, and I haven't updated jack shit. So I've got to need to step up to the plate, kind of adjust things. I'm hoping by the time we get to episode 100, we're ready to, like, I don't know, maybe take it seriously, maybe put in a little effort. But no.
Yeah. Yeah, something's going to happen, and we're going to have, like, a really excellent episode 100, and, like, people are all going to, like, start getting into this, and they're going to be like, oh my god, this is really awesome, and then they're going to go back and listen to the first 100 episodes, and they're going to be like, oh, this is
literally James and Nick talking for an hour. Who the fuck wants to listen to that? What's wrong with you people?
What do you mean, you yours? People?
Fucking hell, talk about anything interesting. So I had sex with this midget last weekend, and he was so squirmy that.
Kidding. Yeah. Yeah, I'm kidding. It was Monday.
Have I told you about my latest TV show obsession?
Does it involve midgets?
It not as much as it should. It's called Gaki no Tsukai. I think I talked about it a couple shows back. It's a Japanese show that's been on for like 20 years.
This is a game show?
Kind of. It's called Downtown Gaki no Tsukai. Downtown is a Japanese comedy duo. Two guys, like Abbott and Costello. One of them is the straight man, and he hits the other guy with a giant fan all the time. And the other guy is the wacky guy.
Yeah, he's the wacky guy.
Yeah, so they've been around. I mean, the show's been around for like 20 years because I was watching episodes of it on YouTube, and there's some back, like, you know, it's obviously the 90s. The dude's wearing like a big yellow coat and a Kangol hat backwards. Like, it's awesome. But it's just the craziest shit. Like, they bring comedians on and have them, you know, they do like a talk portion, which I don't give a shit about. But it's like Jackass. Before there was Jackass, but like with a little more structure.
Yeah.
And like coming up with creative ways to torture one another. Like one of the episodes was, there was no game involved. They were just debuting new tortures they'd come up with. They set it up like an experiment. And so one of the guys was like, okay, this is my torture experiment. And I choose, and he picks one of the other comedians, and the guy sits down in a chair. He goes, okay, so last time we did a thing where somebody got punished by having wasabi shoved up their nose, and that's just too intense. Yeah, he goes, that's too awful. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take two tubes of toothpaste, and I'm going to put them up his nose, and then I'm going to squeeze them in his nose. And so they did that. Like, the dude had to sit down, and they slowly put toothpaste nozzles up each nostril and then squeezed them into his face.
Like up his nostrils, into his sinus cavities.
Yeah. But like, that's pretty basic for what they do. They get really, really involved. Like, they had a thing where they built this like 30-foot high wall of cardboard boxes. All right. And it's like 30 feet high, maybe 50 feet long. And they have four guys sitting on top of it. Like, they're wearing harnesses, so they can't, you know, if they fall off, they just are kind of suspended. But they're all sitting up top, and they have to call out numbers for, you know, this, like, Wheel of Fortune board, where they would call out the number, and it gets flipped, and there's a punishment on the back. And so their punishments are like one of them was volleyball. He's like, volleyball? What's that? And this door slides up, this let's make a deal curtain slides up, and out runs a volleyball team, a women's volleyball team, and they all hit volleyballs at the wall underneath the guy. So the object is to be the last guy up on the wall. But you remember that conversation we had about how there are black people in Japan that only speak Japanese?
Yes.
Okay. So one of them was Tank. And it slides up, and there's a big old black dude sitting on like a Power Wheels tank.
Okay.
Huge. And he's wearing all camo. And it comes cruising out. But because it's a Japanese game show, he's like looking menacing. Which is like he's grimacing, and he's got his eyes open or what? He's like, and he drives the tank up to the wall and hits a button, and it had like buckshot in it. Like if he'd have shot one of the guys on the wall, it would have killed him because it blows a hole through the cardboard like a shotgun. And everybody's like, oh, that's hilarious.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and the guy turns around and drives off. Ah, it's scary. Shit like that. It's fantastic. If you haven't checked it out, Gaki no Tsukai. G-A-K-I. Space N-O space T-S-U-K-I-E. Gaki no Tsukai Harinde. Like, it's something like, no, you can't, or something, some shit like that. But like, one of the ones that we watched was from the 90s where they would have three people come on. Like adults, children, and they would, each of them would get a theme, and they'd have to go up and draw it on a board, wow. And the other team would have to guess what the theme was. So, like, the Costello of the two, you know, the kind of stupid, dumb one?
Yes.
Is berating this four-year-old child for not being able to draw. He's, like, yelling at him. He's going, what the hell is wrong with you? I can't even tell what the fuck that is. What is it? He's like yelling it, and the kid's like starting to cry. He's just like,
you would expect.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's because their humor, like Japanese humor, is kind of like American humor, except a little more over the top, and at the same time, a little reserved.
Yeah.
So you never know what to expect.
I think they wear the two faces a lot more mean, because they're like, if they're in public and they're in certain situations, they have to be so polite and so proper that when they actually do the opposite thing, it's even more extreme because they're so either because they're so suppressed or because in comparison, it's just like such a dichotomy.
Yeah,
dichotomy.
Sorry, I used to draw my name in a funky way with it included an anarchy symbol and a peace symbol. And a friend of mine used to say like that meant I had a dichotomy of soul. And I sang a song about dichotomy of soul one time.
Sounds delicious.
Dichotomy of soul. Well,
so you went to Japan. Did you see any like crazy shit that? Well, yeah.
I mean, I didn't notice any vending machines with panties in them. That's what you mean?
Well,
I didn't spend any time in Akihabara either, so, you know.
Okay, like, for instance, when I went to Italy, right, we landed at Leonardo da Vinci.
Hey!
And they've got a little farmacia inside the airport. You know,
is that one of those little fireplace things that looks like the chimney in it that you use outside?
No. It's a farmacia. This is just a farmacia, and it's like a drugstore, but also like I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's like if you could go for basic medical service, like if you cut yourself, you go to Walgreens. It's kind of like that.
Oh, okay.
So they've got one in there, and the posters on the outside, like on the, you know, like all the billboards around it, the billboards, but you know, signs they put on the side of shops. There's a window on this place that it's like a big picture window. It's like, let's say 8 feet wide by 5 feet high. And it's pretty much owned by a poster of a giant tit. And it's not like a cartoon drawing. It's a picture of a woman's bare breast, like just out.
Is it like a mammogram thing or like a?
No, it's for some cream that you put on your tits to make them nice.
Oh, like skin cream for tits?
Yeah, but specifically breasts.
Yes.
And I was just like,
it's breast cream.
I guess that's Italy because like we walked by and I was like, tits. And she goes, yeah, it is. I was like, okay, see, this is different for you than me. You see them all the time. I'm just like, it's out in public. That should be some kind of odd, right?
When the tits hit you, I like a big pizza fire in Italia.
Italia.
But that was pretty much my impression of Italy the whole time I was there. I'm just like, they're cool with it, and everybody's really pretty, so I guess that makes sense. Because everybody in Italy is very attractive.
Everybody?
Everybody. Dude, the chick that drove us to the airport in a cab, the cab driver, was in America, she'd be a 7. Over there, she was like a 3. But like she was driving us to the airport at like 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, this is an attractive woman for a cab driver. Like you'd be hard pressed to find a cab driver this attractive in the United States.
But maybe like the whole like you know what it means to be a cab driver has different you know connotations in Italy. Maybe like that's like a really glamorous job. You know, like everyone's falling over themselves to be cab drivers in Italy.
Well, in Italy, they have something called Bella Figura, which is like
a beautiful figura.
The whole beautiful, basically. But it's like you pay attention to the way you look, you know, and not like the way Americans do, where we're like, I got to work out because I'm so fat. Like, no, they're like, I'm going out in public. Like in Italy, there's no people of Walmart website, you know? Because all the people at Walmart look fucking like models. They look like they're out at a runway show. Looking on the main shopping district of Rome, you just see people like in all black, you know, just like suits and shit. It's like, yeah, huh, child. Like they know they're going out and they're like, well, you better look good because if you don't, people will throw shit at you or think you're American. But yeah. Maybe because their food's so fucking good because if every meal you had was at its minimus, like at the most minimal, a 3-star Italian restaurant. Like if you go grab a sandwich and it's just the nicest sandwich you ever had in your life. That's Italy, like everywhere. It's just good looking people eating delicious food. And you go, man, I really in the hotel, because I have a feeling all these people are using their bidets and not toilet paper. I feel like an animal. I need to shave. I need to get a haircut. I feel like I should have on a tie, but none of these people are wearing ties. They're wearing suits, no ties.
I get behind that. I'm not really a big fan of ties. They make me feel like I'm, you know, getting strangled slowly all day.
See, I don't mind ties. I have a bigger problem finding shirts that fit, like, just to fit my shoulders and my neck. It's a weird, awkward back and forth. Where they're like, okay, this is how big your neck should be. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's wrong.
Yeah. My problem is my arms are too long, apparently. Or maybe my shoulders are too narrow. I don't really have narrow shoulders, though, but I do have long arms. Do you know how your arms, your like fingertip to fingertip is supposed to be approximately like the same?
Your height?
Yeah, your height. Yeah, mine are like 2 inches longer. 2 or 3 inches longer. I forget. We measured it one time.
Freak!
Sorry, I had a Missy Element moment. I apologize for nothing.
But yeah, there were a lot of times in Italy where I really felt like I was not trying hard enough.
Oh.
We're going to Alaska in July.
Oh,
and I have a feeling it'll be the opposite there.
Like, you feel like you're too dressed up?
Yeah, like we'll just be like, well, we're good. Like you wander out like you're going to Walmart in PJ pants and, you know, wandering on the street and somebody's like, why are you all dressed up?
Are you going on a cruise?
Yeah.
If you imagine at some point you will probably stop at Ketchikan, which I thought was a really cool place. It gets more rain than any other city in whatever this country we're called is.
North America?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about, I mean, probably North America, because we're more in Canada anyway. But I guess, I mean, they measure their rainfall in feet. And they get like 15 and a half feet per year or something like that. Or no, 27 and a half per year. It's something crazy. It's very temperate, too. It was like September, and it was like 60 degrees there. And I'm like, yeah, I thought it was Alaska, so it was supposed to be cold. But if you had a chance to go to Skagway, please go and enjoy Skagway, Alaska, because I didn't get a chance to get off the boat there. Well, fine. Go to Skagway. Enjoy it.
That's the only place that I know for sure we're actually getting off the boat.
Okay. But Skagway
is... We're taking a train ride.
Oh, cool.
And then we're taking bicycles back.
Are you what? How far is the train ride?
And it's a 15-mile bike ride.
Okay.
But the nice thing is...
Is it mostly downhill?
Yes. The train is like going to take us up the hill, and then we come back through the Klondike downhill on bicycles.
Okay. As long as your brakes work, that should be easy.
Yeah, we'll see.
So I'm just imagining like an episode of Murder, She Wrote where they cut the brakes on the bicycle. And it's like, oh my God, he's trying to kill me. By cutting the brakes on your bike? Yeah.
Why didn't you just put your foot on the tire? Stop it. Have you never ridden a bicycle before? Oh, yeah. I guess I kind of had it coming, huh? Yeah, I was actually looking into that today. Like, as far as all the places. Like, we're gonna be in Seattle for like 4 or 5 days.
Seattle's cool.
I've never been.
I've only been once with my brother, and apparently we went, and it was like the best weather that Seattle had ever had. Because we went, and it was like sunny and comfortable, and everyone was like, oh my God, this is never happens. Because everyone talks about how Seattle's supposed to be like rainy and, you know, foggy and, you know, makes you feel like Frasier. But, yeah, we went, and it was like, oh, it's cool, whatever. Like, it's, you know, we went to the Space Needle and could see for miles and miles. It's great.
That's groovy. That's kind of what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for like Frasier weather.
Yeah.
Because for like a white childless couple, it's the motherland. Like, go to Seattle, like, let's get a coffee, and maybe go to a museum.
There you go.
And maybe swing by a BMW dealer, feel of everything. I think there's a Frasier tour where you like, you they know, wander around and go to a pretentious restaurant and.
Yeah, and they like serve you a tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
Yeah, scrambled eggs.
I hear the blows are coming. Tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
There was a robot chicken sketch where the little nerdy guy, he goes to get a car, and they give him a light cycle from Tron. And so he like takes off, and you can't, you know, everywhere you turn, it leaves a trail behind you. So he, like at one point, he's going through a cornfield, and he like, is like swerving all over the place. And they show it from up above, and he does the opening to Frasier. Draws out the outline of Seattle.
That's funny.
And he goes, hey, I'm the opening to Frasier. Scrambled eggs.
That was David Hyde Pierce, I'm assuming?
No, I don't know who does the voice.
The guy who plays Niles. Well, no, I mean, like, that's the character they were making fun of Niles, the guy that David Hyde Pierce played on Frasier. Frasier's brother.
I don't think so. The nerd guy's a recurring character.
Okay, I don't know. Oh, that's cool. Oh, the nerd guy from Robot Chicken.
Yes.
Okay, I thought you were the nerdy guy from Frasier, which, you know, it's arguable there's more than one. But anyway, but yeah, okay, that's cool. I like it. I liked, there was an episode of, or a little thing on Robot Chicken where they did a parody of Law & Order, except it was all with chickens.
Yes. But it was a perfect Law & Order episode.
It was. Like at the beginning, the chicken.
Mark, Mark, Mark. Doom, doom. Mark.
Doom, that doom. That's the judge, yes. The lawyer's like, mark, 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 mark. The other lawyer's like, mark, 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 mark. And the judge's like, mark.
But yeah, it framed the whole thing. Like, you could see the entire story. Somebody got murdered. This guy is being questioned about it. He won't let the cops in. Now he's on trial. At the end, he gets acquitted. And then he's murdered on the front steps.
Okay, I'm about to die. Okay.
Yeah, they put all on Hulu. They've got all the Cartoon Network Adult Swim stuff up. So I've been catching up on Robot Chicken.
Oh, I didn't realize Robot Chicken was part of that whole suite.
Oh, yeah, dude. That show is so fantastic.
It's like Netflix only holds like one season at a time for some reason. And it's never the season that I want to watch.
Yeah, Hulu has it's maybe not the last season, but all the way up to almost the last season, I guess.
Okay. Well, shit, yeah, motherfucker. I'll check that out. I'll write that down.
There's a great one with E.T. where he's like, he walks along and sees all the little candies. And he's like, oh, M&M's. And he grabs them and puts his mouth. He's like, what the fuck is this? Elliot runs up. He goes, they're Reese's Pieces. He goes, and he throws them at him. He's like, what the fuck, man? It's a branded candy. Reese's Pieces are nasty. Like, I know, that was a major misstep on Eminem's part by, you know, denying him the right to M&M's. But Reese's Pieces, they're gross. It's like good peanut butter.
Because I know in the novelization of the book, or the novelization of the movie, I should say, there were M&M's that he was eating. But when he actually, on the film, yeah, it's Reese's Pieces.
Like, M&M's are shit chocolate, too. But given a bowl full of Reese's Pieces and a bowl full of M&M's, well, I'd probably grab one out of each bowl.
Have you tried M&M peanut butters? Have you tried the actual peanut butter M&M's?
Yes, they're very good.
Yeah, they're far superior to Peeps. Reese's Pieces.
Penis Pieces.
Penis Pieces.
They're like little cups full of cum. They're bite size now, James.
I've served those, but I've never eaten them.
Cum cups?
In a manner of speaking.
Awful.
Thank you. That's what I was going for.
Like, but somebody has to be buying Reese's Pieces. Like, I get so befuddled by the candy aisle. Like, I walk down the aisle and it's just full of candy. And some of this shit, I'm looking at it, I'm like, who's buying Good and Plenty's on a daily basis? Because they always have them. And you don't always have them unless somebody's always buying them.
Either that or those are the same Good and Plenty's that have been on the shelf for the last 20 years.
Maybe.
They just keep them there because they always want to have that option. They want to say, we have the largest variety in the Southwest or Southeast because that's where we are.
Well, I mean, I heard somebody explain it once as to, like, you know, they've been making them for so long that it's not cost prohibitive to keep making them. Like, they've paid for themselves to a point that they can just keep making them, and the small amount that are getting sold is just profit.
For all of it, yeah. But they don't. They have to have some material that's coming. You know, that's going into making them, huh?
Yeah, it like covers the material cost and all that. It's like I'm trying to remember. I mean, it must have been like a Smodcast where they were talking about them.
Smods, they got smods.
Like somebody looked them up and they were like, eh. Yeah. Do you remember those Mott's applesauce commercials from the 80s?
With the little kids that acted like they were from 1940s movies. Or like, you got the Mott's or something like that?
Yeah, like that's how he got into – he would get into the treehouse because he got Mott's. I got the Mott's.
What's the password? I got the Mott's. Yeah, something like that.
And they let him into the clubhouse and he gives everybody applesauce. Have you ever given that much of a fuck about applesauce in your life?
No. It's one of those things that's like really convenient when you have it, but lost in front of me, I have never craved it. I have never craved applesauce in the absence of applesauce.
I don't think I've ever eaten straight up applesauce like with purpose in my life. Like I've never had like a cup of applesauce and eaten it going, this is what I'm gonna do for the next minute or so. You just eat straight up applesauce. Like I think I've used it in cooking.
What huh?
Like for pork chops? For pork chops and shit?
Oh, pork chops. Yeah, pork chops and applesauce. Yeah. Yeah.
But no point of ever being like, applesauce, that's awesome. Because by the time I was a kid, they fixed that fucking problem. Like in the late 1800s, applesauce was a treat. Like, hey, you kids want some applesauce?
Oh, yeah, applesauce. Yeah, applesauce.
Wiping my ass with fucking Sears Roebuck catalog. Sure, give me some applesauce. Take my mind away from this goddamn misery of existence.
Yeah.
But 1985,
there were a
Little
lot
Debbie
of
has other... long since been creating oatmeal cream pies in individual packets.
Not to mention Nutty Bars. Not to mention
fucking
the Keebler,
Nutty Bars.
Not to mention the Keebler Elves were in full swing at that point.
Who bakes cookies in a tree? Fucking ridiculous. Fire hazard. Never trusted them. But that little girl, I could trust her. I trusted Little Debbie. Like she was homely. She was homely and a dirty ginger. But so I had a feeling that she was at home, like focusing on baking delicious treats to give to all the other kids who actually had friends and go outside and play. So I believed in Little Debbie. And she never let me down, James.
Never.
Nutty Bars, I was a big fan of.
Not as long as Nutty Bars are in existence. I will never be let down in Little Debbie.
Giant peanut butter wafer cookies covered in chocolate. Who would not love that?
Oh, Jesus, fuck.
And Omo cream pies. And fudge rounds.
Yeah, I mean, those things are good. I mean, fudge rounds are better than oatmeal cream pies, but like oatmeal cream pies, like, yeah, six-stage rolls. But like, you know, if there's Nutter Bars anywhere around, I'm like, okay, this is my first choice.
Oh, definitely. There's just such an exquisite sensation.
Yeah.
You crunch it up and it's peanut butter and chocolate and all.
Yeah, like anything with a wafer and also chocolate, I mean, that's advantageous. You throw in peanut butter and that's like bonus. That's like, you know. That's like swallowing, you know?
Yeah, that's it's like a little wink at you.
There you go. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
I don't know. I will agree with you that I never passed on a Nutty Bar. But I think I ate far more oatmeal cream pies.
I probably ate more oatmeal cream pies just because that was like, you know, when somebody was like, oh, we need to get some treats for these fucking kids, you know, they'd get the oatmeal cream pies because they know nobody's gonna turn down oatmeal cream pie. Yeah. And also there's no hazard if they get a little bit too warm. That was one of the Achilles heels of the Nutty Bar.
Yeah, they would melt.
Yes.
And you'd have to lick it off the cellophane like a homeless person.
You would. Yeah. That I never stopped doing that. That's because you're not going to waste that kind of chocolate.
No, it's there. It's shit chocolate. Once again, I go into a point where, but I'm not going to turn down any bars. I'm not gonna go, that's terrible chocolate. It's a delicious cookie confection thing. But oatmeal cream pies, I could toss one in my pocket during the summer.
Yeah.
Riding bikes and stuff. I could grab one on the way out, throw it in my pocket, and then eat it later. Even if it got mushed up, you just squeeze it out the pack or open the pack all the way and turn it out into your face.
Yeah. It's hard to waste oatmeal cream pies.
Yeah.
Are you leaning back thinking about oatmeal cream pies? Like, oh, no.
I am. I'm just delighted. I have my headphones on so I can lean back and still hear you.
Yeah, you can hear me. Yeah, you're free from the mic. I can still hear you, but obviously your sound quality is going to differ.
Yes.
Yes.
Just like a penis.
Penis?
It's a penis.
Horse cook, Easter cook, means a horse's dick.
What?
Metalocalypse. There was one where they go to Sweden, I think.
Yeah, from Sweden.
Which is where all the hardest of hardcore metal bands come from. Like, no shit. I don't know if you ever listened to Swedish metal, but it is fucking nuts. It's just like screaming while your throat gets torn out over a, you know, 64th note drum line and a guitar being broken.
Yeah.
And no. So that's Swedish metal, and it's hardcore. But they go into Metalocalypse. The guys from Deathclock go into a record store where Toki used to buy his records. And there's this just metal-looking dude behind the counter, this big fat dude with like metal makeup on and long hair. And he's like, this is my album from my underground band. We don't listen to mainstream metal here. It's all shit. My band's name is a Hester Cook, what mean the horse's dick. He's like, yeah, fair enough.
Hell yeah. Yeah, fine.
Yeah, did you ever watch Metalocalypse?
I didn't, actually. I was just thinking about the fact that it seems like it's like made for me, and I've never watched it.
Oh, yeah, dude. Get in on that.
I was actually reflecting recently about how and why I got into metal back in the late 80s. And do you know what was like my opening, like my gateway to metal? The soundtrack to the animated Transformers movie from 1986. Do you remember that one?
Not at all.
The opening theme, Transformers, the theme, you know, Transformers. It was done by a band called Lion, and it was just like dun 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 dun. Judgment Day, now we made a stand, and for now the powers of darkness have been driven from the land. Transformers, more than meets the eye. And I was like, this is kind of cool.
So they wrote an entire song?
Yeah, there was like, you know, extra lyrics besides the, you know, Autobots wage their battle to destroy the evil forces of the Decepticons. There was like a whole, like, you know, more lyrics and stuff to it. And then there was a couple other songs in there. There's one called Instruments of Destruction. I think it was by NRG, or is that by Spec? One of them was by NRG and one was by Spectre General. NRG's like N period, R period, G period. And there was one called Hunger. I think Hunger was by Spectre General. It was like, Hunger! I want it so bad I couldn't taste it. It's like the music that they played when the when the Decepticons were like attacking the Autobots that were in the shuttle and stuff. And like they killed my favorite Autobot. My favorite Autobot was Prowl at the time. And like, you know, he was like died in like the first 10 minutes of the film. And I was like, I'm scarred already. And like that was even before Optimus Prime got killed. By the way, spoiler alert for a 29-year-old movie. Optimus Prime gets killed. He comes back later on, but that's a different story. Not in the movie. He doesn't come back in the movie. But anyway, but that was like my, like, if I had not listened to that sound, or if I had not gone to see the movie and eventually like gone and bought the soundtrack, then I probably would not have been as into heavy metal. Definitely not in the, like the, you know, the following years where I was introduced to, you know, the works of Metallica and Manowar and Megadeth and other bands that didn't start with M. but yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, you know, so like Hasbro is partially responsible for my, you know, appreciation for heavy metal. Just saying.
Metal is one of those things that was like kind of clandestine for me as a kid. Like I listened to it, but
your father was a doctor, so he didn't let you listen to heavy metal.
No, it was because I grew up with all the Christian stuff.
Oh, yes.
Like, that's evil. Like, so, like, we listened to Stryper.
Oh, yeah.
yeah. So, but things like Metallica and stuff like that, I had to sneak rock, like, stuff that my dad listens to now because it's on the classic rock station.
Oh, man.
Carol's here. She says hi.
Hi, Carol.
She's not going to like say hi?
No, I'm in the shop tonight.
She just waved?
Yeah, she like literally opened the door and like waved and then slowly she did this. She like
Yeah, I like the visual humor on the podcast. That's awesome. he's tilting out of screen and then like kind of just kind of peering back on screen and then peering back off screen is what he's doing. America. America. Yeah. So Carol's there. Why are you licking the microphone in such a filthy and provocative way?
So, any other news this week, James? Oh, did you see the thing about Planet Earth getting a flag?
No.
This guy.
Okay.
A Swedish art student. Hold on, I have his name. His name is
Robert Paulson. His name is Robert Paulson.
Oscar Pernefeld.
Robert.
Oscar Pernefeld.
Oscar Pernefeld. He's a Swedish artist, student thing. He calls it the International Flag of the Planet Earth.
Fubiz.
And it's like a blue background with like a bunch of like seven interlocking rings. You can look it up.
Yeah, it looks like circles. It's like, yeah, I just did because that's, you know, it's the world of the internet. Bum, 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 bum. I've got the fucking song Planet Earth by Duran Duran in my head now. Thanks.
Awesome. That's your fault.
That is my fault. I've got an internal jukebox.
So he created this flag, right? And everybody, like news organizations went nuts over the weekend. They're like, Planet Earth finally has a flag. And so I was looking it up and we've had a flag for a while. The flag of the United Nations was adopted in 1946.
Yeah.
Like NASA considered putting that on the moon. And then they're like, nah, we're America. Fuck it.
And they America! Fuck yeah!
And then John McConnell designed an Earth Day flag in 1969. It's the blue marble photo of Earth.
Yeah, the one that, like, the first one, they're like, oh man, this is, you know, this is like the first image where we all realize we're all like part of one human family, whatever. Yes.
Yeah, it's that on a blue background. And it's actually similar to Daffy Duck's Earth flag.
Yeah. From
when he Duck Dodgers?
Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century.
Yeah, it's the blue marble picture, but on like a yellow background. I guess yellow is easier to animate.
I say you're yellow. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. And there's a farmer from Illinois. His name is James W. Cattle. Yeah. In 1970, he designed one called the Flag of Earth. And it's SETI's been using it like since SETI has been a thing. SETI. Oh. Alien guys.
Search for extraterrestrial intelligence, yes.
Yeah, they put their flag at half mast when Carl Sagan died. But it's like one of those.
Yes.
So we've had a flag. Earth has had a flag.
We've had different flags, yes.
I guess I have a subtle one.
Yeah. I mean, his flag is, you know, it's an interesting design. You know, I don't know what it says. Like, for us as a people, like, what is it supposed to represent? Like, the seven continents, the seven seas?
Yeah, the seven continents, and, like, we're mostly water.
Yeah.
What's the blues about? Like, I think if Earth settled on a flag, and the United Nations was like, okay, this is our flag, and people started waving that shit around, I bet you it would solve a lot of problems. Like, people would just go, oh, yeah, they have the same flag as us. Because that's a big fucking deal with some motherfuckers. Like, he's got a different flag than me. On his backpack. I better throw eggs at him. Like, yeah.
Yeah, we're different. We're on different teams. But if, like, everybody had the same team, it's like, we're on the same team.
It's like, you're Canadian, I'm from the United States, and we're both in Brazil. So we can be friends. It's okay. Like, you know, but still,
yeah.
We get hung up on that shit.
You are black and I am white. You're blind as a bat and I have sight. Sorry. Had a Joe Piscopo moment.
Now, you know what happens when you start bringing Piscopo into it.
Piscopo.
Piscopo, no.
That sounds like a problem with your urologist.
I get the Piscopos. Moths in here.
You and your moth-eating studio.
Mm. Okay, James.
What? Where? Who? Wow.
I guess I'll see you next week. Are you down? Are you down talking to me again next week?
I think so. Am I? Oh, wait. What's next week? Next week is cool. The week after, not so much.
What are you doing?
I'm going to be in Tennessee at Bonnaroo again.
Ah. Well, that's last year, fun.
What year was that? We saw Tom Petty and Paul McCartney. At the exact same time, but in successive nights.
So bring me back some hippie jewelry.
Okay, like jewelry made out of hippies?
If you can.
It's a guarantee, motherfucker.
Fucking A.
Yeah.
You heard it here, folks. James is buying the jewelry and making me feel pretty.
You also already heard me say Hail Hydra, but Nick probably didn't notice.
I'll listen to it tomorrow. I always catch it the day after. I'm like, ah, motherfucker, I didn't notice. Sneaky bastard.
I was particularly proud of my whole John Lee Hooker one. Like,
that one was really good.
All right.
Like, I was impressed listening to it. He told me about it. I knew it was coming, but I still was. Oh, James.
Sneaky bastard. I would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for you meddling fuckwads.
God damn it.
That's not.
But then I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
You've been dorked.
Dork. Receive your dorkedness.
Dork. Ah! Are you all caught up on Flash?
I'm not.
Oh. Like, for the last, like, five episodes, I've been like, oh, this must be the season finale, because holy shit. And then, like, the next episode, I'm like, holy shit, this must be the season finale. And then the most recent one, holy shit.
All right, well, I'll do my best, dude. Like, I'm going to start crewing Music Man at TBR this week.
So, okay, well, get Hulu on your fucking phone or something. Shit.
Yeah, I should probably just watch it at work. Tell Carol I totally haven't done that. Because I'm not going to get caught up otherwise. If I have to wait for her, it just ain't going to happen.
Don't.
But I saw a spoiler thing. Some article was like, hey, they're looking about bringing like the old school Flash and shit into it, like doing crossovers with the timelines. And I'm like, well, I'm going to get caught up because that shit is probably going to happen. And has it already happened? It did? I'll get caught up tomorrow at work. It's like six episodes.
Get caught up. Six episodes? Holy shit. Are they all on Hulu?
If any of them aren't, I'll download. I'll find them.
You'll find them. I'll find them. I'll find them if I have to burn down all of Paris.
All of Paris? Why Paris?
Because.
Later, James.
Alright, later, goddamn Paris.
Thank you.